Mike always has this great big smile. And when you think about it, it's perfectly normal for a guy like him to smile like that. So what? Here's how that works. Mike is out there pulling a lot of G every day when he flies aerobatics. And the G wants to pull your face muscles down like that. And then when he doesn't pull G's, they snap back into place. But in Mike's case, it snaps into this great big smile, which lights up any room anywhere. So Mike, thanks. Glad to have you here. Okay, Greg Feith is next. Greg, can you come on out? Greg. Okay, Greg brings the accident investigator aspect to the judging staff. He's formerly senior airspace investigator, air safety investigator for the NTSB, and he was a GO team captain for the NTSB, and he's investigated personally over 2,500 different aircraft accidents worldwide. He was inducted into the Living Legends of Aviation in 2016 for his contributions to air safety, and he currently flies a Piper Turbo Aero. Greg is a four-time judge, very well qualified to serve on the panel this evening. Next is Dave Morse. Dave? All right, Dave is a very accomplished test pilot. He's done over 34 first flights on aircraft from warbirds to very light jets. And he wanted me to mention in particular one that he really enjoyed. It was an aircraft originally built by Z-Aero. It's a vertical takeoff, winged cruise airplane, all fly-by-wire and electrically powered. He's been an active participant in all of the previous events, so he's a four-time judge. And for fun airplane, it really isn't a lot of fun, I would imagine, but his personal airplane is a Lancer Legacy, and just for fun, he races at Reno with it. So, terrific. And last is Dick Van Grunsven. I don't really need to introduce Dick Van Grunsven. All you need to do is watch the sky and you'll see one of his airplane designs flying. I think that his innovative contribution to sport aviation is that he made it possible for all of us to build those airplanes, which have absolutely tremendous performance. In the old days, the RV fleet was called the Total Performance Airplane, the RV3 and RV4 Total Performance Home Built. If you ask Dick, what airplane in his hangar he would like to fly, he would say, I'll take the RV. But there's something new in the wind. He may be saying in a few years, I'll take the RV-15. So thanks, Dick, for being on the team. Thank you. Okay, so here's the way we're gonna work the FIP event. For those of you who haven't been here before, it's kind of a Shark Tank concept. So the presenters are going to have about 7 minutes to present their concept and make their case. Then the judges are going to ask them a lot of hard questions. Well, what about this? What about that? How can you bring it to market this way? Can you do it that way? What is your time frame? What would you do with the money that you might be able to generate here? And so that's the Shark Tank concept. So just to recap, it will be 7 minutes for the presentation, and then the judges will have 10 minutes for a question and answer period. There'll be a timer up, you'll see on the table. There'll be a green light, which will turn to yellow, and when their time expires, it will turn to red. And Pat Anderson, our chief judge, will say, if they take too much time. So let's get started then. I would like to, let me tell you what the order is going to be. And then I'll introduce them. So Mike Foley is going to speak about Solar Pilot Guard. Then Ihab Awad will talk about airball. Then Ed Wishmeyer will talk about expanded envelope exercises. And then Ray Kwong is going to talk about Epic Optics. And then Mike Vaccaro, lastly, fly on speed. So let's go ahead and start out. Mike Foley, would you come out?
Hello.
And Mike, everybody give him a hand.
Hello. Thank you.
Right, and before I start the clock, I just want to say that this group of entrants is really terrific. You should hear them talking to one another backstage. Hey, how's this work? How's that work? Where are you going from here? How'd you do that? That sort of thing. They are just a terrific group of people to work with. So, Mike, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you. And when will the clock start? All right. Well, I'm going to hit it going now so then the clock starts, right? So I hope everybody's cool this evening. I've just come from England, and it was hotter than Wisconsin. So I'm going to tell you about the Solar Pilot Guard, a project that I've had for a number of years, like 6 years. But first, I want to introduce my son, Ian, who's in the audience here. He's the chief technology officer of our company, and he helped me produce this presentation. Solar Pilot Guard is a device to spot imminent loss of control caused either by pilots, like stall spins, VNE exceedance, or by the environment. And it's the environment in particular that's the innovation in this device. The environment can produce upsets, where you get rolled into the mountain when you're thermaling, or it can produce downdrafts, you get pushed down into the mountain. And also, I've looked at crosswind landings and also flutter. We fly in Mineral County, Colorado. It's 8,600 feet above sea level, 3,000-foot differences in elevation sometimes. And the ridge flying in gliders, in particular in a motor glider, is just awesome. You're flying along with a westerly breeze coming over the slope. But the hazard is there, and that is this sudden steepening of your turn in the thermal, or worse, when you get tipped into the mountain by an upset. And there's been a couple of rather mysterious accidents in Colorado, where we live, where in perfect VFR conditions, people lost their lives, and it was right at midday and quite a mystery. So how does it do it? It has dynamic pressure sensors in this wing-mounted device, as well as accelerometers, and it also has, linked by Bluetooth, angular rate sensors and accelerometers in the tail. They're both solar-powered, so they don't connect to the aircraft electrical system. For sailplanes in particular, that's helpful. It could be built into a full aircraft electrical system, but I did not do that. You turn it on, tail and at the wing, and then the wing unit is the one that sends the signal, the audio signal to the pilot saying, push power now, for example. And so it relies on a speaker in the cockpit. It can be interfaced to the aircraft audio as well. The first thing we're going to cover right now is the pilot-induced loss of controls scenario, which is quite straightforward for a glider pilot. You're in a tight turn, your stall speed's increased because of the bank, and if we have any audio, we would hear, there we go. We hear the noise of the air coming around, and then we're going to get this prompt as I get push power.
Okay.
And then it gives me the okay. It knows that I eased the stick forward and relaxed, and it gets counted on that little monitor at the bottom right of the screen. So that's how we do pilot-induced loss of control detection. But the one I really care about is this other aspect, which is environmentally induced loss of control. And in this case, we're going to see a downdraft. So I'm rolling out, coming along this ridge that's in the bottom left there. I'm going to go fly straight and level. I've got a gentle updraft coming up the wing. And then I encounter a lift and then a steep downdraft. It's not so bad that I consider it loss of control, but it's a glider pilot indication that you should get out of the sink. And you're going to hear it. You're going to see in the video here, the plane kind of bumps, and then you get the sink leave prompt. So it's a form of glider pilot aid, but for a stronger downdraft, it would be critical. So now I'm doing this, I'm flying along that ridge, and now I'm doing this turn into the wind. And as I turn into the wind, a thermal bubbles up underneath my right wing, and it can tip the whole aircraft over. And in this case, it detects it because of those accelerometers and the AOA sensor, and I do a rapid correction after the roll right now prompt. And I get a little okay on the monitor because I did good. This aircraft had two flutter accidents in its early history caused by the tail disintegrating at VNE of 120 knots. The VNE was reduced to 81 knots. And so I decided to use the tail monitor to kind of estimate the buildup in energy in the tail, leading to flutter. Because sometimes when I fly through turbulence, the energy is enough to make the tail wobble, and I can feel it in the stick. And it's alarming, I have to say that. So when that happens, caused by a thermal, I get this prompt, slow pull to ease up and slow down. Okay. Or you'd reduce power if you're in power condition. So Solar Pilot Guard is able to monitor side slip as well. And during the landing in a crosswind, in this aircraft, you have a right bank, you bank your wing into the wind, the crosswind, and you correct it with rudder in the opposite direction. So you have a side slip. And this is an embarrassing moment, but it was landing into the sun with a crosswind, and you can see I make a pretty big mess of this first chance. But my excuse is, and it was good, Solar Pilot Guard says, crosswind, go around, because it's detected that side slip now is greater than my limit that I had set. So it helps you make the decision to go around and survive and fly another day. And then finally, as I come to the end of this, we can use this counting of events that the cockpit monitor does to use it for pilot training. And so there's a list of the 7 LOCs that we have, and there's 3 OKs, a couple of V&E. So I mentioned Ian in the audience here. Ian's a great test bed for me. I have him go and practice a set of stalls or dives and then practice the recoveries. And then at the end of the flight, we look and see how the student has done. And because Solar Pilot Guard counts the number of responses that were correct, you get a better feel for the person's performance.